Welcome to The Graveyard Shift, the podcast where anything goes, as long as there's a good story to tell. Join Todd, Matt, Jimmy, and Gary as they bust myths and share advice that hopefully isn't terrible. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Todd Carlson here with Directors Investment Group. And today we're going to be talking about natural organic reduction, one of the newer forms of disposition on the horizon here. So, guys, welcome back. It's glad to have you all here.
Good to see you.
Howdy, Todd.
Hey, so a reminder to our viewers and our listeners to please share your feedback. We love hearing from you. We get feedback almost every week on every episode now, so that's kind of fun. And by the way, if you got anything to complain about, Gary, you're our guy today. You're taking complaints to the complaint department. We know that your soft and tender side and your listening ear will be...
what he's known for.
Can I help you? Click.
Someday we'll share his cell phone number. No, we won't, but that'd be funny. Hey, so why don't we go ahead and get started here? You know, back when we were doing our planning for these episodes, you know, we talked a little bit about natural organic reduction and it being a new form of disposition that is gaining some regulatory ground out there. And, you know, so we talk about natural organic reduction or human composting, you know, my kind of first question for the group is, and just whoever wants to jump in first, is when you first heard about natural organic reduction, what were your initial thoughts?
Here we go.
What do you mean by that, man?
I was like just trying to figure out what that even meant. It was kind of like water-based cremation, you know, so another form of disposition, and dug in. And it's not legal here in Texas, but we have had folks inquire about it, which was pretty fascinating. And we can talk about that. But it just trying to learn more for me, because as a professional, we want to be, I know I want to be, the go-to for information for when someone asked about something that's maybe seems off the wall or not within the norm. But we are the experts. And so part of that, we should always be learning. And so I just a learning curve, I guess, mostly for me.
Absolutely. Gary, what are your thoughts? When you first heard about NOR, what were your first thoughts?
It's very similar to Jimmy. My first, what ran through my head is, how does this work? You know, what kind of equipment is required? What kind of time frame? It was all about the mechanics of how it worked more than anything else. Same thing with liquid cremation as well. Just, you know, what's the effluent, what's the chemicals in the chamber, all that stuff. Just right. Again, to have my mind fully wrapped around what the process really entailed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I realized that I just didn't understand anything. So, you know, same situation. What's the economics behind this? What is the percentage of people that actually are asking for this? What is the percentage of people that are not asking for it, but might be open to it? You know, what's, you know, legal ramifications, timing, you know, what's the funeral director's involvement? How do we answer the questions as they come up? Because I think it's one of the things that I've seen as we've gone along too, is I think a lot of people walk into an assumption of what it means and how it works. We've even seen that in some of the efforts to get legislation passed in different states where, without even thinking or researching, bills are drafted by legislators who want it. And I didn't really know much at all. And truth be told, I still have learning to do. I think I have gained more knowledge than I used to have, like Jimmy.
All right. So Jimmy, hey, we're going to start over here. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, when you were learning about the process of natural organic reduction, so you could be a resource for your families, you know, when you have had inquiries on it, how do you talk to families about the process?
So we spent some time with the folks from Recompose, Katrina Spade and her team, and kind of went through the process just to educate ourselves. And then we ended up building out a whole site on our website to talk about it with a short video. But, you know, the process itself is about 8 to 12 weeks, the best I understand. And they have vessels that a decedent is placed in that vessel, and natural product like alfalfa and hay or wood chips or incorporated in that. And then it's just time with that decedent. And actually, one of my questions was, well, so when this is all done, how what does this look like? It's like when we talk about flame-based cremation, we know that, hey, we're all make up about 200 cubic inches of cremated remainder ash when this process is done. And so what does that look like when I want mom back? And so it equates to a pickup truck full of material, which was fascinating, which led to the next question of how do I get a pickup truck of material back to Texas if a family wants that? And they figured that out. They've done a great job. It turns out they donate most of that material to areas that are need that natural organic material. And it's fairly interesting, but they do send back a part of that if a family wishes in a nice gardening sack. If you want to incorporate, you know, mom back into your garden for, you know, that's a thing. So it was interesting to me how long it took and the different materials that it does seem like that it's very, very much organic material, natural material. It seemed to me also the temperature plays a role in that.
Yeah, if I recall, the temperature has to be maintained at a certain degree level to make sure that the process, the material ends up safe at the end of the game. So
for more information, go to lucasfuneralhomes.com.
All right, lucasfuneralhomes.com. All right, well.
Selfish plug, you know, Matthew.
It's my homepage. Every time I open my web browser.
As well it should be.
You know, you guys get paid, handily for saying Passari on the web. And, I get $5 every time I mention Lucas Family Funeral Homes. It's three today already. So
you are going straight to heaven, Todd.
All right. Thank you. Hey, one thing I was thinking about, though, in this was when I first heard of this, I was actually sitting in a funeral home in St. Paul, Minnesota. And a gentleman was explaining to me there, a funeral home owner, that he, even though NOR was not legal in Minnesota, he was actually having families inquire, and they were shipping decedents all the way to Seattle, and wow, and the process, and then having all or some of the remains shipped back, and he was pretty excited about it as just being something new. But we got in this discussion. I wanted to throw this by the group here. Is if you think about the last time we had I think we'd call it a major disruption in the form of disposition, which may have been cremation, right? Was the original disruptive form of disposition. And if you think about how funeral directors and funeral service handled cremation, what can we learn from that might have us look a little differently at something like natural organic reduction?
I think we better remember that this does not replace ceremony. This does not replace the final farewell and how we acknowledge a life and a death, and that ceremony is where healing begins. Because I feel like once upon a time with cremation that we lost sight of that. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case today, but.
I agree.
Yeah, that's good. What else did cremate? What's another lesson we can learn from cremation?
Well, I was going to say just, whether it's learning from cremation, I don't know if it's cremation per se, but what we learn from our failure in embracing it is that I believe that we should be disposition neutral and going along with what Jimmy talks about. And, you know, I don't have to want to be cremated, you know, and I can still offer cremation. And I think we have to remember it's the same thing with this. I think there are going to be a lot of people that just have a resistance to it, and they just don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't, may not even believe in it. And that's okay. They're entitled to that. But when we're working with the public, I think we need to be disposition neutral and say, whether you choose, you know, burial, flame cremation, alkaline hydrolysis, natural organic reduction, or maybe someday something else. I remember years ago, there was this thing going on where they were using like liquid nitrogen, freezing bodies, then doing like a vibration, to create a substance, you know, whatever those things are. I think we need to look at the fundamentals of what we do, which is journeying with people at loss and having them have ceremony, having them have goodbye, and having them start their healing journey in a good way, no matter what the disposition is. So we dropped the ball big time when it came to cremation. And I think we dropped the ball so big time on that, that perhaps no matter what the disposition is, whether it's this too, we still have a lot of hard work to do to try to educate people into the importance of saying goodbye. So that work continues no matter what happens with NOR.
Amen. Yeah.
Good feedback. All right, Gary, what are your thoughts?
Very, very similar. The concept of ceremony and the concept and the method of disposition are two different topics. And I think the profession in general linked the two and actively tried to talk people out of cremation because they thought that meant, well, you're not going to have a funeral either. Mm-hmm. Interesting sidelight from the cemetery perspective. We put in a nature path that's cremation only and it's biodegradable urns only. And the one part that really surprised me is the number of green burial people that elect that. And what we're learning is the method of disposition is not as important as what the ambiance is around the actual final resting place. And those customers don't want to be in a traditional cemetery. They don't want to look at headstones. They don't want to look at monuments. They don't want to look at mowed grass. They want to feel like they're walking through a nature center. And that's what we've given them. And it's been probably the most successful cremation development Spring Grove's ever done. Hmm. We're putting in our third section of it. And that was the most surprising part. We had no, and we do offer green burial. Not, you know, there are 87 different versions of green burial. Right. We have one that's closer to a traditional burial. We still dig it with a backhoe and still use a lowering device and all that stuff. But that was the most fascinating part was the disconnect between method of disposition and what the consumer wanted as a final resting place. And we stumbled into it. That was not intentional or thought through, but it is a fact.
Part of me wonders too, how much of a movement or an interest in natural organic reduction is coming from a failure to offer green or natural burial in places. Either in terms of cemeteries opening sections or funeral directors talking about it. Because it seems to me that the ultimate goal is what people perceive as something more natural, what they perceive as organic, and what they perceive as reduction. So, I mean, all those things through green burial or natural burial would able to be accommodated. But is it the fact that someone in a market says there are no cemeteries around us that are offering this, so I'm willing to invest in a shipping container, 11,000 gallons of jet fuel to ship a person to the other side of the country to have this option? Would they not? Mm-hmm. Is that just because they're not finding what they're looking for with their local cemetery and funeral home in this way? So Yeah. I'm curious.
I don't disagree with that. Well, even natural organic reduction, the end process they call mm-hmm. soil, like we call remains, cremated remains, ashes, and cremation. What you get back is soil, and that's the narrative, and it's interesting. I mean, you think, wow, can we send all of our soil to Spring Grove care of Gary Freitag? I don't know. Maybe that's what's next.
And even the sending it all there, as you're talking about, and Jimmy's talking about, you know, most of it going somewhere else and they get a garden sack. Like, I just think about how we approach cremains. And if families found out that half the cremains were missing from the urn, I think they would have a problem with that. You know, and you think of how careful we are when we're placing cremains in the urn to make sure if it spills, it's in a container, to make sure as we're filling cremation jewelry that we're not, you know, losing the leftovers, what the little bit of less left over that we have to let the family, you know about this. So there's a different mindset it was seeing with families that are choosing NOR as well, where they are okay apparently with not getting yards and yards and yards of the soil that's left over. And maybe it's because in their mind, the body is gone. It's not the body has changed like it is with cremation.
Well, and they're done, you know, they have set up land programs, and I'm not articulating that properly, but that donated soil can go to, you know, public lands that need soil. And so it's an interesting read. And I'm not articulating it the way it needs to be articulated, but
that's not really the purpose of the podcast.
Right. Good. Thank you. For for all of us, it's something a little bit different. And I think, Gary, you nailed it when you talked about, and maybe Matt, that we can't get confused with final disposition and ceremony the way we remember.
Yeah. I almost wonder, a couple thoughts crossed my mind. I think, I think with cremation, we've all talked about how I think my perception of funeral service, and I was a young funeral director when cremation was ramping up, and was maybe families were running away from something with cremation. And I almost wonder with natural organic, if they're running to something. And I wonder if that is a shift in mindset. So, you know, running away from the traditional funeral, and then you've got cremation, and then it's like, well, we're burning lots of natural gas, and, you know, and it isn't all what it's cracked up to be, you know, in their mind. I'm just, you know, consumer perception is, and then with natural organic reduction, it's like they can kind of get a little bit like cremation. They just feel better about it. Because the perception, in my opinion, is I think with cremation, it caught on because people understand burial, people understand fire, and I think people understand composting. I think this has a little bit of a chance to catch on, because I think when explaining water-based cremation or aquamation, you're like, that one I think was harder for consumers to get their head around. It's like, what happens, right? I think this is pretty, you know, straightforward, you know, because everyone, I think a lot of more people understand it. You know, it's funny, we were doing some, you know, when we did the Passari 2021 consumer research study on this, one of the things that came out of that was there's a growing interest in what the study called non-traditional forms of burial, right? So green burial, you know, and things like that. I think this might fit into that bucket. So they were saying, you know, right now in the ages 40 to 69, you know, cremation is a preference about 43% of consumers, burial 21%. And then body donation and NOR actually had a 5% each interest level. And again, that's, you know, people a generation younger than we're currently typically serving at funeral homes today. But one thing I was thinking about there was, you know, when you think about 5%, you go, that's a low percentage. You think about the other way is 1 in 20 families that are walking into your funeral home very likely could be interested in this. And when you think about it from that perspective, that's actually a fair amount of people who might consider this. So what are your thoughts on who you think this method of disposition appeals to?
Well, I first of all, it's got to be people that are more ecologically oriented. I mean, you could say that about the cremation clientele because it uses up less land and is perceived as better for the environment than burial, because you're not putting a big concrete container in the ground. So I think it would be a subset of the cremation customers that are really eco-oriented, that don't want to use fossil fuels at all and are willing to pay for that, because this method is going to be much more expensive than cremation or burial, either mm-hmm. one.
Yeah. It is more expensive, so it's not economical at all.
Yeah.
When compared, it's got to be something you're interested in. And I agree exactly with what Gary said.
It's still the thing I get it. If you live in Seattle and you're going to Seattle, I guess, but you know, I'm guessing they're still using diesel vans and, you know, different things and powering the place. But for me, it's also just the people in my market that want us to fly in there in a jet. Like I don't understand. Yeah. Like, I think you're perceiving it as an ecological thing, but it's a hell of a lot more fuel than a retort. So, you know, I don't know if it's, if it's just also for folks that are maybe just never liked the idea of cremation and fire too. I mean, if you live in Manhattan and you don't have cemetery space and you don't want to be cremated, if they had pods there that you could have natural organic reduction, you're not being cremated and in your mind is like returning to the earth. And then they send the soil off somewhere else. Maybe that fits and checks some boxes in terms of how you leave the world.
I agree. And, you know, I know one other market I was thinking about, I like your opinion on this, is what if you're in Iowa and you're growing corn for a living and you're a farmer?
I was thinking farmers. This is a circle of life for any farmer.
Are there restrictions? And Jimmy might know this more than me, and I'm asking because I don't know. Like, we talk about the soil going somewhere. Are there restrictions about it goes to flowers versus food or anything like that? I mean, I just wonder what the perception would be like.
In my own mind, it would be pretty weird, right?
If I found out that frozen vegetables are all coming from farms that take human compost, I might feel different about buying it than I would have.
Well, same with scattering, you know, ashes, cremated remains. I'm going to put those back in my garden.
I don't know.
To everyone their own.
Yeah. We don't have any legal experts on the call here, but my understanding of the process is that it is deemed safe. But I still think that's one thing and consumer perception's another, right? You know, I think people have an affinity for gardening or flowers or, I think there might be some movement there. But also I think I think one thing is definitely clear is it's not going to be the people looking for, inexpensive, disposition, cost rivaling burial, from my research. So I know you guys all are from states, I believe, that don't have legalized natural organic reduction yet. So I was going to play a little game with us. So this could be viewed as a game. I'm surprising you guys with this one. So there are 14 states who have legalized NOR as of September 12th in our crack research team here. Can we list those states? Let's just play a guessing. Gary, what do you think? What's the first state that you think
Oh, it's got to be Washington.
Washington. Yes. All right. Where
Oregon
else?
Oregon is right after, right?
Oregon. Yes.
California.
California.
Is Colorado one?
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado is one.
New Jersey, I think, just did it. Didn't New Jersey just do it? Like,
yeah. Yes, they did. Yeah. Our man from the Northeast.
I want to say Maine. One.
Maine, yes, on the list.
Vermont.
You know, I think our viewers right now, yes, Gary, are shocked that we know this many states, just in general. So, what else?
I'm Googling as fast as I can to cheat.
Name the state and the capital. Vermont, Montpelier.
There's another one right up in your neck of the woods. Delaware.
How dare you? Is Georgia and Oklahoma on the list? No.
What about Minnesota?
Georgia on the list. Oklahoma not on the list.
Okay.
Yes, Minnesota just passed it this year.
Yeah, we have left, Todd.
All right. Well, no, Nevada is on the list.
Arizona?
And Arizona.
Okay, I thought it was me.
That surprised me.
There we go. That's the Stump the Chump segment of our program today.
Georgia's on the list, right? Did we say Georgia?
Yeah. Yep.
Which surprised me, actually.
Yeah, so we'll see. What is there any rumbling in Gary in Ohio, or Jimmy in Texas, or in your home state, Matt in Connecticut? Are there any rumblings about getting this?
Yeah, we had legislation that was proposed a session or two ago by a freshman state legislator, and it did not end up passing or moving forward. He indicated he was interested in the legislation because he was interested in doing it himself, he and his wife. The state association did not object to it. They just spoke out in such a way saying that if it did come to the state that they thought it should have a process. For different reasons, it did not pass. I don't know if it'll be brought up again. My guess is, based upon some of the states around us embracing it, it'll probably come up again. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it does. And I wouldn't be surprised if ultimately it passes, which is ironic because, you know, can't have coffee during a funeral, but you could compost your grandmother.
One thing I'm seeing is a trend is I think most states, and I don't know if most or all is appropriate here, but I don't know for sure. But the states that I'm more familiar with, they've required the facilities to be licensed funeral establishments. So I do like
they
that.
They should, right?
Yeah.
You're handling a decedent, and there needs to be checks and balances for that. Texas did introduce the bill, but not nothing. We're also here in Texas, aqua cremation is not currently available for humans.
Same thing in Ohio.
But it is for pets, which is interesting.
Interesting. All right. Well, hey, Gary, if NOR was approved in Ohio, you know, what do you think, how do you think your Spring Grove would react to that? And what would your plan be?
We'd probably try to accommodate them. I don't know that we'd actively get in that business. It's capital mm-hmm. intensive. It's a longer process. As Jimmy said, the economics are difficult to justify. This is 6 weeks in specialized equipment as opposed to 70 minutes.
Yeah.
So your throughput's going to go way down. You'd have to charge a lot of money for it. And Ohio is not, I use the old Mark Twain code. If the end of the world ever comes, I'm moving to Cincinnati because it'll happen there 10 years later. we will be at the, we are almost always at the trailing edge of some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, don't go to the Midwest if you want consumer trends, right? You know,
no, yeah. No, we're followers.
Yeah. So, Matt, what's your answer to that question? How would you, if it were available in Connecticut, how would you handle it? How or if would you promote it?
If someone else was doing it as a third party and they wanted to work with us, I think we would. In terms of actually building out the infrastructure for it, I have a hard time of seeing how that works just because the demand grows. And you buy three pods and you have three clients and then six more people want it. And you say we have a 6 month wait. I think the economics of scaling it for someone of our size is hard. The only way I see it mm-hmm. working is the folks that manage to find, you know, private equity money that just hears death care and gets excited and throws stupid money at a project to make it, to bill it out and make it work.
Make that check payable with Jimmy Lucas.
Cash is fine.
Okay, Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I look at where I don't need to be the first in line to try this. We've been the first with a lot of things. I don't think we'd be the first with building out an OR facility, most likely.
I totally support it. I think it's cool. And I would definitely support a third party in my community that this was a passion of theirs.
How mainstream do you think NOR will become if you had a crystal ball?
Less than 5%.
Less than 5%. All right.
Yeah. I just don't see it appealing to a significant percentage of the population. And I think it will be cost prohibitive. It'll be people that where money doesn't matter.
I would agree with Gary, unless the technology changes the price and the speed. If they're able mm-hmm. to find a way that this goes to 2 weeks and it's the cost of cremation plus 1,000, cremation plus 2,000, maybe then it goes on a bit more, but otherwise I think it's going to be a niche, but you know, it's going to be a way that people differentiate themselves by offering it. So,
yeah. All right, Jimmy.
I agree with the panel here and I don't like to do that always. So
you must be getting smarter, Jimmy.
I thought you were going to go.
Not likely,
I thought you were going to go Price is Right. $1.
Exactly. Well, hey guys, you know, with that, when it comes to natural organic reduction, I think time will tell, right? You know, either our predictions will look back and your guys' predictions will be right on the money or they won't be, you know, and the consumer is the one who ultimately gets to decide. And it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds, because I do think as funeral directors research this, they're going to find it is not going to be like cremation. You know, for whatever, it's a little bit of a different vibe. And I think you guys have shed some really good light on some of those key differences. So, you know, if a funeral home is thinking, hey, we'll just get a pod and be in business, it really is a lot more than that. And the funeral directors that I've spoken to sometimes believe that's the case, is you just get an NOR pod and you go. Very, very different regulatory environment and a very different time frame and price point. So with that, gentlemen, thank you for another great episode. And for our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in again. And we really appreciate you. And if you have some feedback for us, thegraveyardshift@passari.com is the place to leave that. We love your thoughts, your comments, and your ideas. A couple things here. Put something you learned today into use. And second of all, like you, I think our fans have been doing, is don't keep us a secret. We have a lot of fun on this podcast. We hope we're bringing value. And we'll all see you next time.
Thank you, Todd.
See you, gentlemen.